is Thursday morning. I'm Andy Bates. You're listening to His Time. Thursday morning means we get to check in with our friend, Dr. Daniel Harmelink from Concordia Historical Institute. Good morning, Dr. Harmelink.
Good morning.
What are we historically speaking about today?
Well, I just first wanted to say that the rumor is completely untrue that last week, you know, Wednesday was CFW Walther's birthday. And there's this rumor that I was commemorating that and
celebrating
had
too much.
Bad hangover last week. So there's no truth to that at all.
Well, thanks for clearing that up.
So, historically speaking, I mean, this week a lot is going on. November 3rd. We remember that the first groups under Martin Stephan left Bremerhaven on the Copernicus and John George to come to St. Louis. So that was in 1838. And they...
How many ships were there that left?
Well, there were four, and then there's the Amalia.
Yeah, there was one that didn't make it, right?
That's the Amalia.
Yeah.
So I was asked... some question about, you know, did the Saxons bring over such and such to the New World? And I said, there's no record of that. Maybe it was on the Amalia. So there's always an out.
Hmm.
But they said that the Amalia had a lot of treasures on her from the Saxon group. But 1838, they left after selling everything for the New World. So we commemorate that. Also, that same day, November 3rd, in 1929, 25,000 people filled the arena in St. Louis in celebration of the quadricentennial, the 400th anniversary of Luther's Small Catechism.
Huh.
There was a mass choir of 3,500 voices, and Walter A. Meyer preached. 1929, 25,000 people.
Wow.
And you think, could we do that today? Even for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. A lot of people.
That's a lot of people gathering around to give thanks to God for something so unique and, well, and helpful as the Small Catechism.
Right. It's a major component of the gifts given through God in the Reformation. November 6th is Gustavus Adolphus Day. That's celebrated in Sweden. So if we were in Sweden, we'd have the November 6th off. You wouldn't have to come into work.
You know, I'm reading the Hammer of God right now with a study group at my church. I should mention that when we meet this week.
Mm-hmm. So November 6th is his saint day. It's his death day. And again, he was killed in battle defending the truths of the Reformation against Catholic forces in Lützen. In Germany, and he's often referred to as the defender of the faith. So Gustavus Adolphus, his coat that he wore with the bullet hole in it will be on display in Wittenberg in this next year.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
Next to, well, maybe not right next to, but in the same exhibit as the KFUO microphone from the good old days.
Yeah.
At the seminary on South Jefferson. So we're really excited that Lutheran history in North America will be part of this exhibit in Wittenberg, Germany, all through next year.
That's a good sturdy name, Gustavus Adolphus.
It's good. And if you attend the, if you visit the seminary in St. Louis, Concordia Seminary, there's an archway that's dedicated to him.
Really?
With a big bronze plaque. So look for that next time you walk around the campus. But today I want to talk about what is going to be commemorated on November 9th. And that is the birth of Martin Chemnitz.
Aha. The other Martin.
Exactly. The other Martin, the second Martin. All the CHI staff said, all you have to know is that he's the second Martin. So there's this Latin phrase from way back says if the second Martin had not come, the first Martin would not have survived or would not have stood. And Martin Chemnitz, it's interesting. You think, okay, who's the number two theologian in the Lutheran Reformation? Most people, I guess, would say Melanchthon. But Martin Chemnitz is identified as the second most important theologian, because after he's kind of second generation. So after Luther died, it was Martin Chemnitz and others who kind of put this down as far as what the teachings of the Reformation specifically pointed to. What did Scripture say when it comes to, for example, the nature of Christ, what's going on in the Lord's Supper, that kind of thing. So Martin Chemnitz is one of the co-authors of the Formula of Concord, mm-hmm. which basically closes the collection of Lutheran confessions in our Book of Concord.
Absolutely. And probably the piece that people are least familiar with in the Book of Concord. Well, I don't know. Maybe the treatise?
Maybe the treatise, or I think, again, Schmalkald articles is kind of skipped over. Treatise on the primacy, power and the primacy of the Pope. Most people say, why is that? Lutherans don't confess the power and the primacy of the Pope. It's something else. It talks about. That's the subject. But Formula Concord, I mean, it's not easy. It's not light reading.
Right. And it's not brief.
Right. So it's interesting.
It's there's a lot in it, though.
So Martin Chemnitz was a very gifted man. His father died at age 11. The family was poor. He had to struggle going to school. And after receiving his master's degree, he basically took the next 4 years to study on his own. He learned some of this when he visited as a student Wittenberg and got to know a little of Philip Melanchthon. So Melanchthon gave him kind of this is how Christians can deepen their understanding of the scriptures, the early church fathers, the Lutheran confessions. This is how people can do this on his own. So he took that to heart. He's basically a self-taught theologian. He started dabbling in astrology, and after the gospel bit him, he kind of put all that aside and studied theology.
After that's quite an interesting way of putting it.
Yeah,
after the gospel bit him.
Well, it is Thursday morning. We have to make this interesting. But just an incredibly talented guy. So he had kind of had the precision of Melanchthon, but his best friend was he had studied under Luther. So Chemnitz also had a profound respect for Luther. He heard him actually lecture before Luther died. Chemnitz heard Luther lecture, but he, in retrospect, says, I didn't pay as much attention to Martin Luther in the classroom as I should. But he was instrumental in, again, Lutheran theologians, they have disagreements. So Chemnitz learned from experience how to get people to be more precise in their theological language and actually agree. So this is what he brought to the Formula of Concord as far as elucidating in a clear way what scriptures reveal and getting as many people on board as possible.
So his emphasis is really on clarity of language, being clear about what it is that we confess.
Mm-hmm. And he's a good apologist. Mm-hmm. He's a good not debater, but he sets out the arguments and then goes to Scripture and says, "What does Scripture say?" So it's not this. We'll just sugarcoat everything, and then everyone can agree on what's being debated. But it's actually his faithfulness to Scripture that at the end of his life got him booted out of his position and probably brought his death, his ill health, much more quickly. So Chemnitz, we see a good example of a standing for the faith.
So, and that's November 9th, is that right?
November 9th, 1522 was the day that the Lord said, come home to heaven, for Martin Chemnitz. But again, he's very underrated. Before these English translations came out by J.O. Preuss, The Two Natures in Christ and also The Lord's Supper, there was very few writings, works of Martin Chemnitz available to the English-speaking world.
So he died in 1522, is that right? 15- now...
I'm sorry, born in 1522, okay. Died in April 8th, 1586.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Sorry about that.
Because I was thinking the Book of Concord we have is what, 1580? 1580,
right.
Yeah.
1580. And a lot of these works that even Chemnitz wrote were not published until after his death. So he didn't get a lot of royalties. You know, it happens. Same thing with artists. They're not appreciated until they're gone. But a lot of these are now available in English. The J.A.O. Preuss also wrote a book. It's called The Second Martin, a biography of Martin Chemnitz's life. That's available from CPH. But I would encourage everyone, maybe you know a little about Luther, maybe you know a little about Melanchthon, but Martin Chemnitz, the Lord gave us a treasure in Martin Chemnitz and all his hard work, all his preparation, all his reading in the original languages, his reading of the church fathers, all of that, so that when it came to discussions with other church leaders, he actually had something substantive to say instead of just, you know, I win because I've got the loudest voice. So what a great scholar.
You brought up a interesting point. Sometimes we don't appreciate the gift that God has given us in a servant until they've gone on to be with the Lord. There are many servants, many theologians that about which this is the case.
Well, historically speaking, right? I always argue that you need some perspective.
Sure.
But I mean, in the case of Luther and in the case of other reformers, I think their gifts were recognized earlier. But I think with Chemnitz, it wasn't until later that people said, what a gift. And then they rediscovered his writings and his gifts.
Well, on November 9th, we'll commemorate that. Well, the work that God did through Martin Chemnitz.
Exactly. The second Martin.
The second Martin.
We also want to invite everyone to the what's going to be opening February 18th as we have a major exhibit on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. That will be at Concordia Historical Institute on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, an exhibit of rare books and coins. Some of this you'll see this Sunday. They're having kind of a kickoff service, and in the narthex of the chapel there at the seminary, we'll have some display cases giving you kind of an appetizer of what's to come in February.
A hint of the numismatic art.
Right, exactly. And rare books, too. We have some. We'll be displaying some books that were printed in before Luther died. So a rare opportunity to see some...
Rare books.
Some rare books that may have Martin Luther's DNA on them. Who knows? So maybe see you Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, that's coming up at Concordia Seminary with the lecture at 2:30 or the presentation at 2:30 and then the service following shortly thereafter. I believe that's at 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. is the service and then fellowship right after that as well.
You have to have the Bratson.
Breakfast of Champions.
Beer or the coffee and donuts, otherwise it's not a... official Lutheran event. But come to the service and say hello, take a look at the display cases, and again, it's okay to begin start celebrating the 500th anniversary now.
It is?
I give you permission.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dr. Harmelink, and we can find out other events, other fun information on the Concordia Historical Institute website.
ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org.
Very good. God's blessings on your weekend.
Blessings. Yeah.
Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.